BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Are you ready to have your say in the UK's biggest football debate? Your teams, your views. Get ready. This is 6:06 with Roman Kemp and Chris Sutton on 5 Live.
It's that time again for you to have your say about your club. Chris Sutton is here. We are taking your calls until 9 o'clock tonight as the Big Ange era at Forest got off to a tough start in North London.
Got a free kick, it's played to Declan Rice on the edge of the penalty area, back to Trossard, the substitute, flicks it to the back post, header comes in, and it's another one for Zubimendi, this time with his head, and that is that. Arsenal 3, Nottingham Forest 0.
Arsenal won pretty easily today, but I know there is a lifelong Forest fan that is actually quite excited to have his new favourite boss, Ange Postecoglou. Isn't that right, Chris, at your club?
Yeah, I'm excited about Ange Postecoglou going to Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest want to win trophies, but let's hear from Nottingham Forest fans. Are you excited about the appointment? I think a lot of Forest fans, I'm happy to see Nuno go, but that was to be expected. But yeah, let's hear from him. Excited about Ange, Forest fans?
There you go. So, Forest and Arsenal fans, if you want, the number to call is 0808 5909 693. And, of course, after what was a never-ending summer of transfer rumours, there was finally some joy up front for the Geordies.
The cross comes in from the right, looking for Voltimona! Nick Voltimona with a debut goal at St James's Park! He slides on his knees! What a moment for him!
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Call free 08085 909 693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate. Visit bbc.co.uk/5liveterms for our terms of use and privacy notice.
A fantastic debut goal for Nick Voltimona at St James's Park. It was a really, really lovely finish. And they've still got Wissa to come in, who couldn't play today, a little bit injured. Could Newcastle, though, be stronger with both of those players in than they were last season with just Isak? Chris, I'll let you answer that one. It was an unbelievable finish. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I've not seen it. I'll watch our match of the day tonight. I did hear that it was, I think Alan Shearer is very excited about the header from Nick Voldemarder. But Alexander Isak was incredible, but two new boys in. What can you achieve this season with the two new lads in, Newcastle fans?
Yeah, there you go. Look, so Newcastle and Wolves fans, want to hear from you. Do give us a ring, 0808 5909 693. Chris, who else do you want to hear from tonight, mate?
I want to hear from Rangers fans. 2-0 home loss to Hearts today. That's ugly scenes, really. Fans calling for Russell Martin to be sacked. Rangers fans, let's hear from you. Is Russell going to last? And what do you think about the 49ers, their involvement? Because this is partly on them as well, isn't it? They chose Russell for manager. Spurs fans, up to second, just behind Arsenal, Roman. Absolutely flying under Thomas Frank. Easy win today against West Ham. If I'm a West Ham fan, the ones who stayed in the stadium until the end, so many left. I mean, are they true fans to walk out like that? I'm not so sure they are. They should stand and applaud the team until the end. But I'm worried if I'm a West Ham fan watching that sort of football under Graham Potter. We thought they'd turned a corner. They obviously haven't. Wallop today. Everton and Aston Villa fans, a good point for the Toffees. But should you have won today? I think they should have done. And as for my former club, Aston Villa, this is your worst start to the season in 28 years. What is going wrong at the moment? Don't think they've scored yet. Bournemouth fans, they're flying at this moment in time. Can they keep it going? Here's one on the Manchester derby tomorrow, quickly. Why has Ruben Amorim signed Lammens as a goalkeeper and Bayinda's going to start tomorrow? Yep. I don't quite get that one. And in the Championship, Stoke City are second after beating Birmingham 1-0. Bristol City are third with a 3-0 win at Sheffield Wednesday. And talking Steel City, don't know whether you watched the game last night, Sheffield United fans want to hear from you. A 5-0 loss at little old Ipswich Town. No points on the board. I think one goal. Surely they need a change of manager there. And want to hear from fans who are at the Forest Green Rovers game today. Forest Green equalised in the 98th minute and the Forest Green manager was booked. He disgraced himself, ran down the touchline, Mourinho type, celebration. I mean, amateur hour there, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. So wonder if fans of that game.
Really, really amateur scenes there from the Forest Green manager. But us, yeah, I just don't know how. I still, you know, very, 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 very well things going on down there. But look, whoever you support, whatever level you've watched your football today, do give us a ring. 0808 5909 693. And we're going to start with a Nottingham Forest fan. We've got Ben on the line. Hi, Ben.
Good evening, chaps. How you doing?
Yeah, well, hello, thank Ben. You, mate. Now, Ben, go ahead. What do you want to say?
I'd really just talking about the new era with Ange. We've seen a load of negativity online this week about Ange's appointment, and really just to fight a case for the other side and point out that, you know, 3 years ago when Steve Cooper was appointed, every single Forest fan was like, this is a step backwards, this is not a great appointment. And he went on to do, you know, incredible things for the club, take us back to the promised land that is the Premier League. Following that, we appointed Nuno, and everyone was like, you know, is this the right appointment for us? He went on to take us into Europe. So actually, I think the negativity that's coming through from a lot of the Forest fans about Ange is probably a little bit unfair on him. He needs a bit of time to settle in with the lads. He's inherited a squad that have actually not really done a great deal together, with 2 days only to prepare to play what, if we're honest, is probably one of the best teams in Europe, if not the world at the moment, in Arsenal.
One training session.
Yeah, literally, you know. So I think the expectation that we were going to see Ange Ball today, and that, you know, he's going to do everything the same, is really unfair. And I think there's a real opportunity for Forest to kind of reinvent themselves a little bit in terms of the style of football. That's going to take a little bit of time. And I think, again, this is a project that people really need to get behind and encourage Ange, because actually, as good as the trajectory of Forest has been in recent years, I think it's probably reached a ceiling where defensive football can only take you so far. There are times when you've got to, as a club, be able to win in different ways, and sometimes that means throwing everything forward and getting goals. So I'm actually quite excited by it. I wasn't sure at first, but again, when you reflect on where we've been in the past with Cooper and Nuno, they've all ended well, and the owners made great appointments. So I'm perhaps a little bit more optimistic than some of the fans that you would have.
Why weren't you sure at first, Ben? And that just off memory, going back to when Nuno was appointment, that seemed to be, if I remember rightly at the time, a lot of negativity about Nuno's brand of football being more counter-attack, but the Nottingham Forest fans bought into that. Why is there negativity towards Ange Postecoglou in certain quarters then?
I think there's two kind of key reasons. The first is that his the style of football that he's known for, should I say, is literally 180 degrees opposite to what we've been doing for the last 2 years with a degree of success. You know, the high line, the high press, the attacking football is something that is literally the opposite of what we do. So I think there is kind of anybody that really understands the game from a tactical level is thinking, hang on a minute, we've appointed a manager that's going to play in a completely different style to the way that we've been playing. And we've just signed 13 players to play in that style. Or you would assume that we've signed those players to play in that style. So I think there is a degree of scepticism there. And I think also people have saw what happened at Spurs and think, you know, his most recent escapade ended badly as far as a lot of Spurs fans were concerned. But of course, he did win the Europa League.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I think, you know, he was tasked by Mr. Levy, I believe, to win a trophy. And he did that. And again, that's back absolutely. To what I'm saying, that actually... Yeah. That there are, whilst on the face of it might not be everybody's first choice, when you look at it in the cold light of day, give him a couple of weeks and let's see what he can do, because I think what we do want to see is, I'll phrase this a different way. This game today, it was like the first game of the season, because we've signed 13 players of which we've only seen one start so far. Considering that amongst those players, there's club record signings, you know, Amari Hutchinson, James McAtee, these are top class players who we've not seen and haven't been integrated into what we're doing. If we've got those players at our disposal and if Ange's got the opportunity to play those, he is going to have to change things around a little bit, but he's going to need time to do that. So yeah, it felt like new manager, new squad. It felt like the first game of the season today, although it was the fourth. Perhaps that was because we've had the international break as well. But it felt a little bit different today.
Yeah. Ben, thank you so much for that, mate. Nottingham Forest fan calling in. game there. I was at the game today. I saw it, to be honest. That, like, they showed some positive signs. I actually thought the players, they really tried to kind of get behind that press. Although, give it around 70 minutes, they were kind of, they were blowing, to be totally honest.
It's a nightmare game, isn't it? For, you know, yeah. First one up, Arsenal, you know, strong team as...
But it could be a free hit for them. I kind of looked at it as a free hit. My only thing, you know, that I would have gone back to Ben, but, I want to get to Simon, our next caller. The thing that I kind of have a question on is, yes, you know, he won the Europa League, totally get it, but the teams you are facing week in, week out, I mean, he had a terrible time at Spurs.
But if you look at his first season, I think what Harry Kane was sold, he ended up finishing fifth.
Yeah,
of course. More trophy than Arsenal last season.
And there it is. Right, listen, let's go to Simon, West Ham fan. Simon, go and speak your piece, mate. What are you thinking?
Well, you rang me. I wasn't thinking much other than it's fact. What another disaster, an absolute disaster. A Potter masterclass in tactics, not. He is absolutely awful, and he really needs to be sacked now before it's too late. Maybe we should get Nuno in.
Before it's too late. When you say too late, what do you mean, relegation?
Oh, 100% on the cards. I mean, that performance today, there was some good, there were, you know, some good sparks, if you like, but we were never going to win that. And I mean, I'm not sure how many corners they had. 12, was it? Maybe more? I mean, that just shows you that his tactics have been found out. And I really think that, I mean, Forest, we all thought possibly turned the corner because Forest were sort of a bogey side for us. We couldn't beat them and we did beat them. But watching that today, I mean, I sat there till the very end and
the
three quarters of the stadium was empty. And I'm not surprised, really. People paying their money.
Sorry, Chris. Just quickly, Simon, on this one. Like, do you think? I don't know if I'm looking at this from a different perspective, but it almost seems like the squad are kind of giving up on it a little bit, because I look at the games that they've lost, right, and they're getting, you know, obviously 3-0 Sunderland, 5-1 Chelsea, then you got 3-2 in the cup to Wolves. You have a great kind of 10 minutes against Forest, but then again today, obviously, you know, you've got the red card. Does it just feel like as once that goal goes in against you, it's almost a little bit of capitulation from the squad?
100%. Heads down, no fight, no passion. Oh, well, you know, we're giving them another goal start, so we're going to lose one. We might as well lose three. And, you know, it seems like that every week. I really do think Potter's tactics are awful. And he's supposedly got a degree in psychology or something like that. Well, he's certainly not getting through to the players. And so, I was an advocate for him, mate. You know, I thought, well, he'd be a great manager for us. He's absolutely awful. And then there's the goalkeeper, this goalkeeper. How many did he let in last year for Leicester? 85, was it? He's already let in 14.
It's not just the goalkeeper.
He's let in 14 goals already.
The defending's awful.
Yeah, well, all right. Defending is awful, but he was out of position. I was in the loo when they scored the first goal, but the other two, completely out of position.
I was going to ask you number one or number two, but I mean, that's slightly irrelevant. Simon, though, I mean, does the failing come down to, and I've said this many times, had many arguments with West Ham fans. You got, not West Ham fans got greedy, but David Moyes did a brilliant job. And all of a sudden, you know, you hear this, we want the West Ham way back. And then, you know, Lopetegui, didn't work out under him. Strange appointment, it seemed, from the outset. And then Graham Potter, has taken over. No real change. The fans have certainly lost belief with them all leaving in their droves as they did today. I mean, is it as simple as a new voice, a new manager coming in and things will change? Or do things run deeper at West Ham?
A new ground would be a start. I mean, it's the ground is completely soulless. And there isn't a West Ham way since we left Upton Park. That's not our ground. It's not even a football ground. There is no atmosphere. There was atmosphere for about 5-10 minutes, giving, you know, Spurs fans a bit of jip. And then when that goal went in, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So there is no West Ham way anymore, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and the thing about Moyes, people wanted to see more attractive football. Yes, we were in Europe with him, and that's great. And, you know, love to be back in Europe. But people are getting fed up with boring football. I personally like Postecoglou. the way his team's approach matches, right? They may not win, but you're certainly going to be entertained. And really, that's what we want, is entertainment. We're not getting it.
Yeah, it's really tough for you right now. Simon, thank you so much for your call. Don't forget, give us a ring, whoever you support, whatever your level. What have you seen today that you want to chat to us about? 0808 5909 693. One more time, that is 0808 5909 693. I'm going to go to Southend-on-Sea now. Chris, Spurs fan, I mean, that second half must have felt like almost a bit of a home game.
I did a bit, actually. I mean, it surprised me how easy it was. Well, hello, Rowan, and hello, Chris. Chris, aren't you on yet? I was going to say, I think, Chris, you should get a bonus for working with that long-haired guy, Robbie Savage, because, I mean, well, I remember him when he was a player. He used to goud all the fans and stuff like that. I mean, he was cheeky, let's put it that way. So
there's other words you could have used there.
No, exactly. But obviously, it's a BBC, so I can't say.
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah, exactly. So, you should get a bonus for the BBC, Chris.
That's a great point. If we could clip this up, please, production. I'll send this to the bosses. Thank you for saying that. And just to confirm, we have never met before, have we, Chris?
No, we haven't. No, never.
That's lovely. No, so come on then. So an excited Spurs, excited Spurs fan. Why are you excited? Early days.
I'm excited because honestly, I mean, half the building at my workplace are West Ham fans. So when I go back into work on Monday, I'll certainly be I'll be a bit low key. Let's put it that way. I don't want to sort of irritate them as such. But honestly, that was a good win. And the thing is, right, if West Ham, right, if they want to improve, get rid of David Sullivan, sorry, and Karen Brady. Because honestly, they're crippling that club, right? I mean, and that caller on you had before, right? He was totally correct. No atmosphere though at that Olympic Stadium. Upton Park was far better.
Olympic Stadium had an atmosphere when David Moyes' team was doing well, didn't it?
Well, I mean, clearly, listen. It was good that they won that trophy. It was
fans are too far away. The fans are too far away. You can see it. It's like even when you're there, even when you're watching it as a fan of, you know, a neutral. It doesn't. There feels like no connection. I feel like with that side. But it's. I mean, look, it's great for you if you're an away fan.
What they should have done was they should have done what Tottenham were originally proposing to do at that London Stadium. They should have just knocked the whole thing down and built it into a proper football stadium. Mm. It's an athletic stadium they convert. Honestly, I'm telling you now, right, if I was them, play it late in the audience ground for 2 years and then demolish London Stadium, move back in then. Honestly, that's the best thing they can do. But honestly, I mean, I'll tell you what, Mickey van der Ven, I want to say this on air, right, Mickey van der Ven is a future Ballon d'Or winner, right? He has been absolute mustard for us, honestly. Mickey van der Ven, van der Ven, Mickey van der Ven.
Are you going to sing, Roman?
Not really, because I'm still thinking about the fact that, you lost 1-0 to Bournemouth in your last home game, and then Mickey van der Ven got a yellow card, so he didn't have a great game that day, did he?
Spoil it.
Sorry, Chris.
Hey, you've got to be reminded. You've got to be reminded. Why not? But Chris,
don't spoil it. Come on, Chris. Listen,
Chris. I'm interested, right? So that first half was a completely different game. Let's be real, right? The first half was a completely different game. When you were watching it before the sending off, you know, the goal goes in, all of a sudden they get a red card from a horrendous challenge from Souček. Was there not a part of you that watched that first half and went, oh no, because that front three were not clicking. Obviously, you've got, you know, some new, it's a kind of all new front three. You had Xavi Simons in there, you had Matthijs Tel, who had a bit of a shocker, and then you've obviously got Kudus, who's playing against his old side. Were you not a little bit worried about how it was going to go in that first half?
I mean, yeah, it was touch and go, there's no doubt about that, but I mean, they came through in the end and just
hold that, Chris, I'm gonna have to stop you there, because we've actually got your manager, Thomas Frank, with George Cummings right now.
Thanks, Roman. Yeah, Thomas with us now. Thomas, 75% win rate in Premier League games. Not a bad start to your life as Tottenham manager.
I really, really wish and hope I can keep it like that. But let's see. We are allowed to be happy today. And then, as I say, 24 hours happy. And then look forward again, of course. Probably look forward a little bit quicker because we have a short turnaround to the game on Tuesday. But... Happy with the players, the way we bounced back from last game, where I think we performed badly. Today we performed well. I think except for the first 15-20, where it was more even, and they had a few crosses flash across the box, you know, an opportunity to Paqueta. But after that, I felt we dominated the last 25 minutes of the first half. I felt we grew more into it. A lot of good situations, crosses, shots, opportunities, corners. So it's like we just waited for the goal, and luckily it came second half. So we kept the momentum. Second half, you know, we've changed it can change, but we kept it, scored a good goal. And of course, the red card helps to be even more dominant, but I'm convinced we would have won anyway. So in the end, a very convincing win. And by the way, it's not that easy to play against them. You've seen that many times. So I'm happy with the players.
What did you make of Lucas Bergvall? Man of the match, he's just been in, but he just feels like he's growing into that Tottenham shirt. What did you make of his performance? And what a goal, by the way.
Yeah, fantastic goal. I think he deserved a lot of credit. He got so much energy and enthusiasm, and just want to do as well as possible, and he works so hard. So he's a fantastic player to work with for a coach. I think he did well today. A lot of energy, a lot of pressing, a lot of good situations where he went into the box, and of course, fantastic goal, fantastic ball from Kuti or Christian Romero. So very good.
And Simmons, what did you make of his debut? And also, were you targeting West Ham at corners? Because I think you got into double digits for the number you had in the match, and you've got your goal from one of them. So was that something you was looking to exploit?
First shot of Simmons, happy with his debut. I thought it looked good, looking promising. Of course, there's always more to come. But he took initiative. You can see something happened when he was on the ball. Looked creative, exactly what we needed. So happy with that. Good assist for the first goal. Yes, set piece is important for us. So we had a focus on it, of course, before the game. And it paid off with two goals, actually. It's the second phase, the third goal as well.
And just a word on Romero's disallowed goal. You didn't look very happy from where I was thinking. I mean, no. You probably joke about it now, but yeah, I'm guessing you thought that should never have been ruled out.
No, for me, it's a clear goal. I think that's consistency. I know it's never easy, but we're talking about a higher threshold for those situations. And for me, it's clear that Mats Hammarsson who pushed Mickey van der Ven into to Matty Till. What do you do? You can't cut off your arms. So, and it's not even a push, you're like a touch to the body. So never ever a foul, clear goal. And if you look at the Man United goal against Fulham a couple of weeks ago, that was clearly two hands in the back, and that was not disallowed. So I'm thinking, you need that consistency.
Thanks for joining us on 606. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That was George Cummings with
great
Thomas
to hear
Frank.
George back, actually. He's not been on for a while, has he, George? It's great to hear him back. Enjoyed his question. What did you make of man of the match Lucas Bergvall's performance? That's an easy one to answer for Thomas Frank. He was pretty good, wasn't he? Well done, George.
Very good. Thank you so much, George. Chris, I'm going to ask Spurs fan. Sorry, mate, I cut you off just there. I mean, look, having heard your manager, everything kind of seems nice and bright. I have to ask, having seen your new self under Thomas Frank, what are you setting yourself out for expectations for the end of the season?
Oh.
Go on, let's hear it.
Oh,
go on, give me a prediction.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, anything's better than finish 17th in the league, isn't it? Really? No. I think we should finish top eight this season. I'm not going to say...
Top eight?
I'm not going to say that we're going to get top four or nothing, because I think there's some very, very good teams that have strengthened a lot. I mean, the thing is, while I'm on the air, I do just want to pay tribute to Daniel Levy for the 25 years' service he's done. I was never personally in the anti-Daniel Levy camp. I think he's turned the club into a force in Europe. New stadium, new training ground. You know, we've won two trophies, League Cup and the Europa League. And I think, really, look, you know, Spurs fans, I know there's going to be some that divide over this, but I want to pay tribute to Daniel Levy as a good chairman.
That's fair enough. Chris, thank you so much.
Not overly ambitious there, was he, Chris? Top eight?
I thought top eight. I was kind of waiting. Well, it wasn't so long ago that after four games at the beginning of the season, I think Spurs were doing like almost a lap of honour at their stadium. Anyway,
nice stadium though, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah. I tell you, it's a phenomenal stadium.
Best in North London?
We've got a caller. John, West Ham fan. John, commiserations on today, mate. I mean, it's not looking good, is it?
It's not. We left early. We left after the third goal. I do take a bit of umbrage with Chris's comments right at the start about people that leave in early are not true fans. I've been going 30 years. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Supporting West Ham.
What do you mean you've not seen anything like it? The fans leaving that early or that performance?
No. Just where we are now, where every single home game is not entertaining. It's depressing. You know, I'm about probably 10 minutes away from your last caller, the Tottenham fan who was phoning you up from his armchair in Southend-on-Sea. But I do agree with him on a lot of things, actually. You know, the ownership of our club, we've been mismanaged for so many years. The move to the London Stadium was supposed to be a new start. It's been a step backwards. We buy the wrong players. We invest in the club. We spend a lot of money. When you look at the league tables about clubs that...
Oh, John, are you still with us?
Best players, Rice and Kudos. My main point for phoning, I think Chris is bang out of order. Fans have a right. Paying fans have a right. It's all right for football pundits that go to games for free, that get picked up in limos from their houses.
I've just to be clear, I've never been picked up in a limo.
He was talking about previous caller, Chris.
What do you do? Get bike? I don't know. But, you know, make sure you don't pay to go into the grounds to watch the games.
I do at times.
Chris, I'm speaking now. Okay. Paying supporters have the right to vote with their feet. And actually, the more West Ham fans that leave early, the bigger the message that we're sending out to our owners of this club. They're runners into the ground. It's not acceptable. I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to stand there and not, thousands of people around me just to watch us fade and die. As per the song,
but there are people who there are people out there who will say, "What about supporting your team until the end?"
I do support what you're saying. I've spent tens of thousands of pounds over the 30 years that I've been supporting West Ham, and someone's going to say I'm not a true fan for leaving the ground early because I'm not being entertained.
But that's your right. But I mean, it was astonishing viewing.
It was astonishing viewing
seeing how many fans had just given up on
the
team.
That's how unhappy people are, though, Chris.
Can I just quickly, just John, on this? Listen, mate, I love your passion, and I feel you because look, it's been, I think you haven't won in your last six at the London Stadium, if I'm correct, and. And obviously, you've got this whole divide going on. Do you feel like, as a fan, do you feel that frustration has got to a point where you felt like you as fans have tried to bring as much support as possible to liven up that stadium, to stop that thing that a lot of people are saying there's no connection in that stadium with the players and the fans?
There is a connection under David Moyes. Come on.
I've seen that stadium absolutely rocking.
Yeah.
Nights under the lights. But I've also seen that stadium absolutely depressing and demoralising, not just under Potter, but also under David Moyes. I was one of David Moyes' biggest fans. But if you look back, you've probably got the stats at your fingertips. The last games that he was in charge, we were getting turned over. It was boring. It was insipid. We needed a change. But unfortunately, we don't have the leadership at board level to make the right decisions. That's the biggest problem we've got. Okay. And nothing's going to happen unless we change that board.
Yeah. I love it. John, thank you so much for your call, mate. I really, really appreciate your passion on that one. Right, we will be back taking more of your calls after news and sport on 5 Live with Al Tansley. And guess what, Chris? We're going to be talking Rangers next.
The UK's biggest football debate. This is 6:06 with Roman Kemp and Chris Sutton on 5 Live.
Welcome back to 6:06. You've got until 9 o'clock to get your calls into us tonight on 08085 909 693. One more time, that is 08085 909 693. Chris Sutton, we've had a few texts.
Yeah, we have. Give a mention to Stoke City and please their manager. My old teammate Mark Robbins is doing a great job. That's from a Stoke City supporter since the late 50s. A long way to go, but what a start. That's from Lawrence in Antrim. And another one. Hey, Roman, nothing to do with football,
but give your mum a big kiss from a long life Pepsi and Shirley fan. That's from Shelley. What about that?
Love that, Shelley. Lovely. Thank you so much. Anything to move away from a fan of ballet. It's always fantastic. We have to go to James Gregg, who is at Brentford for the kickoff versus Chelsea. James.
Yes, good evening to you both. Chelsea have Cole Palmer sat on the bench next to Alejandro Garnacho. That's star power, isn't it? Enzo Maresca does, I think, have one eye on Wednesday night when Chelsea travel to Bayern in Munich. You'll be able to hear that one on 5 Live, of course. But Facundo Buonanotte in that Palmer role for his debut. Looking forward to seeing how he gets on in Chelsea colours. And a first start for Joral Hatto as well. Mikael Damsgaard ill for Brentford. Bit of a blow for Keith Andrews, who'll be desperate to get something out of a fixture that you've got to say Brentford have actually done pretty well traditionally in. There are 4 minutes gone. It's been a lively start in terms of speed, but it's goalless.
There you go. Thanks so much. We'll hear more from James until we're off air at 9 o'clock tonight. Now, look, we're going straight to the phones. I mean, it's been a lively show already, and I think it's about to kick off even further. Paul in Glasgow, Rangers fan. Paul, I mean, what's happening? What are your thoughts?
Well, I could talk to death about this, but here's my main points, and Chris knows Scottish football, and I've spoke to Chris before. The end of the road for Russell Martin. If it wasn't a couple of weeks ago, it is today. I was at Ibrox. It's toxic. Chris, you gave quite rightly too. Philippe, come on, Michael Beale. He gave him a tough time on social media, and I remember Pedro Cassini. He gave him a tough time in BT Sport one time. But you're quite quiet personally about Russell Martin. Now, statistically speaking, he's the worst Rangers manager since the 1970s. He's got about a 20-odd% win rate. We've played 5 games in Scotland. He's won, drawn 4. I was going to say one. He's won none, and he's lost one. He's worse than Pedro Cassini. He's worse than Michael Beale. He's worse than the Belgian waffle, Philippe Clement. In your words, the guy is a walking disaster. You don't get time up here, Chris. You know that.
No.
You were very successful in Scottish football. A draw is a disaster. A defeat's a catastrophe up here. The guy I'll get away with in Swansea and MK Dons, because you can go on a wee Saturday afternoon down to MK Dons and get a wee draw and the fans are happy clappers. Don't get up here. The guy's done. I listened to his interview and it was absolutely abysmal. The guy had the audacity for Rangers fans, who, by the way, my dad's in his 70s. My dad's followed Rangers through thick and thin. And this guy sits in front of the media and comes out with stuff like, you know, I do training, the guys play different in front of training. It's no tactics, it's psychology. Well, get a grip, it's your players. He's the one that's backed with Kevin Stelwell. And by the way, Kevin Stelwell doesn't get away with it. He gets away with it with effort. He brings a guy up 8 million. We could have had a Delasima and Cherney for the same amount of money, who's tried and tested, but no, the arrogance out of these guys is unbelievable. And I'll tell you that now, Chris, the 49ers, if they think they'll get away and say, well, listen to the noise, they'll listen to the noise outside Ibrox, because I'll tell you, attendances will drop, hospitality will drop, and we'll hit them hard with the pockets. That Scottish football is so passionate up here, Chris, you know that.
Yeah.
We're sitting 10th in the league.
Yeah, and that's embarrassing for a Rangers team to be sitting 10th in the league. So, Paul, you were at Ibrox today. I mean, is there any part of the fan base who has sympathy for Russell Martin? Or, I mean, where are the Rangers fans? Is it Rangers fans in their entirety who want Russell out now? Does he have any support?
No, I wouldn't even say 99.9%, 100% against. And do you know what? He throws players under the bus left, right and centre. And are you telling me, not you personally, Chris, but the media, are you telling me that Russell Martin's got the right over Nicholas Raskin, a Belgian internationalist, to sit in the stands?
There's something amiss there, isn't there, with Nico Raskin?
Paul Le Guin did it with Barry Ferguson. What happened to Paul Le Guin? He was out the door.
But what, I mean, with the, look, I mean, my opinion, Raskin, Nico Raskin, start of the season, is Rangers' best player. full stop. And then there's been this fallout, but they're seeing there's something amiss there, where I think it's a problem for Russell, that this whole situation. The Rangers fans were singing for Nico Ruskin today, weren't they? Am I right in saying that?
He's a belting it now. I mean, Theo Asgard scored 4 goals for Norway. Cornelius scored a goal. It seems to be that this guy brings him in instead of developing to better players. He's making them worse. I've seen Ant-Man coming on against Pleasant, and he was absolutely outstanding. The next couple of games, he's been doing every single. But I can't tell you one player, Chris, that this guy's made better. Every player I'm seeing is worse off.
Just to be clear, Paul, to Roman, Ant-Man isn't a superhero.
Yeah, I lost a little bit there.
I don't have a superhero in Chris. But joking aside, Chris, and I know your answer could be right, but take it seriously. You would probably want him to stay given our current trend, but where do you see Russell Martin? Do you think it's time for him to go?
I think that with what you said about the atmosphere in the stadium, it's not 50-50 anymore. I think Rangers fans are, you know, as a whole, want him out, and I think you've mentioned when it gets to that stage, that level, I think it's going to be very difficult for the for Rangers and Russell Martin to hang on to his job, because it's toxic, isn't it? It was toxic today. Hart thoroughly deserved the victory. That, you know, it shouldn't be happening. But the problem is, Paul, as you well know, a new Rangers manager will come in and say, well, do you know what? This group of players aren't good enough. I want to bring my own group in. How much is that going to cost? And then there's going to be all this change. And it's been sort of rinse and repeat for years with Rangers.
Yep.
And eventually there has to be a time, doesn't there, where managers are given time. But with the environment up here and the expectation to win, you don't get the time.
Hmm. I have to, yeah. Listen, Paul, thank you so much for your call. We have to move on, but some fantastic points there. Personally, just on for what I think it's worth, I think it was an odd appointment to bring in a manager who finished in the way he did with Southampton, shipping that amount of goals and not scoring at all, but sticking to the ways. But we move. Let's go to Richie, who is a Newcastle fan. I mean, Richie, Alexander who, right?
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Roman. Good to speak to you both. Yeah, exactly right. Alexander who. I've been on a couple of times and spoke to Chris about the Ezek situation, and I was pleased it did end the way it ended. It did drag on for a while, and I think it's fair to say Newcastle struggled to get the players in over the line, because they didn't want to lose Alexander Isak before they got at least two new centre-forwards in. And they managed to do that on the last day of the transfer window, as we well know. And Voltimara, he's unknown to me. I think he's unknown to a lot of Geordies up in the northeast here. And we took a gamble of £69 million, a club record fee for a striker who, like I was saying, who we don't know a lot about, but what more can you ask for from starting in front of 52,000 people a day and scoring a very good header? You can't ask for anything more than that. With a lack of game time as well, I know he's had a couple of games over in Germany for Stuttgart at the start of the season, but very new to the Premier League, and all I can say is a massively well done to the lad, you know.
Did you go today, Richie? Did you go to the game?
I wasn't there, Chris. No, I wasn't there. I mean, I've been a season ticket holder for about 12 years, and I'd give me season ticket up the day Bobby Robson got sacked, Chris. But I have been back to the ground, but as you well know, it's very difficult to get a ticket these days for the top games, you know. So yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't there. But all I can say is, you know, another clean sheet as well on the scoreboard, Chris. So yeah, very well done. I think.
And Newcastle, I mean, they love the centre forwards, don't they? Up in the northeast and what have you. Do you feel now it's a situation now Isak has gone, and do you feel like now it's a relief for Newcastle fans that, you know, as a club you can just, Eddie Howe and the team could just move forward. Isak's, I'm not saying he's forgotten yet, but, you know, at least you can sort of look ahead. You've got Wisser in, you've got Voldemarder in, great start for him, but you can sort of, you know, that whole messy situation, sorry situation is over, and that must be a bit of a relief.
Definitely it is, Chris. And I think 99% of the Newcastle fans will agree with what I'm going to say, is that, you know, Isak, you know, absolutely brilliant player, world class, probably the best centre forward in Europe. A lot of pundits are saying that, a lot of fans are saying that, both from, you know, Newcastle, Liverpool, Arsenal. You know, there's no doubt about it, he's world class. But I think the way he went about what he'd done was he let the Geordie nation down, Chris, and it was just the way he went about it. And, you know, if he went about it the right way, you know, and left on better terms than what he did, you know, he might not have been so, what's the word, he might not have been getting called all the names under the sun, type of speak, you know. But it's done now. We've got Voldemarder in, and we've got Wisser in, who's got a lot of Premier League experience. And I think, you know, going into the Champions League, seeing these players that we've got, we needed a bit more strength and depth in my squad anyway. But I just think seeing these players coming in, Chris, Ramsey from Aston Villa, as much as he isn't fit at the moment, but he played Champions League football last year. I just think that there's a lot of quality players that Newcastle has brought into the club in the window. And I've heard that you're commentating on the game on Thursday night, and I bet you're looking forward to seeing Newcastle Barcelona under the lights with that kind of atmosphere going, Chris, you know.
Yeah, it's a great stadium, isn't it? I used to love playing up at St James's Park, and it's great to get in the stadium and commentate on games there. One of the great atmospheres.
Absolutely.
Roman, that.
Absolutely.
Nearly as noisy as the Emirates.
not quite these days. Nah, listen, it's going to be unbelievable, that match. Richie, thank you so much. Lovely caller. The fact that, you know, Voldemarder off the mark straight away, pushing away the thoughts and the nightmares of Alexander Isak already. Look, do give us a call, because I want to hear from Everton fans. The Hill Dickinson Stadium has almost become a little bit of a fortress for you. It feels like instantly you've made this new home just so, so intimidating and a tough place to go to.
Go that far.
Yeah, well, listen, I think they've got it. It's a really tough thing to go into a new stadium. I really love the fact that they've instantly brought that personality
so
to it.
Made it a fortress. How many games have they played? Is that two?
Listen. It's going to be a fortress. I'm going to say it now. I'm going to call it for this season. It's going to be a tough place for any side to go and win. Give us a call. 0808 590969. Villa fans want to hear from you as well. I mean, still haven't scored a goal. I mean, Chris, I can't believe that. I haven't even scored, you know, given the form that they were on last season.
Yeah, I think if you're an Aston Villa fan, you know, you're certainly worried. Brilliant last season, wasn't it? And then it was a case of, you know, can they back it up? Had a great run in the Champions League, a lot of excitement pushing in the Premier League. You wondered whether the squad had that strength in depth. I'm worried as an Aston Villa fan. I hope the club do well, but it's hard to see them pushing at the top of the table. What's needed, Villa fans?
Exactly. Give us a call, 0808 590969. Now, there is, of course, the 8 o'clock kickoff still going on. Brentford versus Chelsea. Opportunities at both ends. Let's go to James Gregg.
Yeah, you've got to say, though, Roman, the visitors, the busier of the two sides, bursting forwards through Buonanotte, the debutant. He's looked good so far. Best chance actually came when a free kick was awarded from a run from him. Little dink from the dead ball from Enzo Fernandez. It found the diving head of Adarabayo, who headed down low to Kelleher's left, just about kept it out. So it's a nice, spicy West London derby atmosphere, actually, this one. Stuart Atwell is going to be very busy, I suspect. 18 minutes gone now. It's goalless.
Hey, listen, Chris. I don't know what's going on. I've got an aversion to the number three tonight. Yeah. I've just read the number out twice, and I haven't even added the number three. So if your phone didn't go anywhere on that last attempt, don't worry, it's not your phone. It is me. So the number is 0808599693.
There
it
is.
693 right at the end. thank you so much, James Gregg, looking over that 8 o'clock kicker for us. Laura, let's go to Derek. Derek, Leeds fan. I've got to say this. I know this is going to hurt. One of the best own goals that I've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt for the kid because he'd had a real good game. You know, he started off well.
He did, yeah.
He's just came in with somebody who started the season well. So I'm not going to slate the kid. It was just one of them things. And
what happened? I've not. I know there was an own goal, but I mean, Roman, you really impressed by it, Roman. So
yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, Derek, were you at the game?
No, I wasn't, mate. I was at Tom Radio Leeds.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that game and it was, I mean, both defences were absolutely brilliant. I thought Joachim Andersen for Fulham was fantastic. Goodmanson has had a great kind of start to the season, albeit kind of like he had that middle game. But Goodmanson, the ball's come in, Chris, and I'm not going to lie, it's a striker's finish. It's kind of hit him by mistake, but it's just lofted itself so well into the bottom corner that if it was, I didn't quite know what I was looking at. I thought it was a Fulham player that scored initially. But yeah, I mean, look, Derek, what have you made of Leeds' start?
Well, the reason why I'm ringing, because you've had a Rangers fan on there, haven't you? And Chris mentioned about the 49ers. And, you know, the 49ers investment arm, they own Leeds United, they own Rangers, probably two of the biggest clubs in Great Britain. And obviously, this club's bigger than Leeds, but you know what I'm saying. Some of the biggest clubs. And I think they've bitten off more than they can chew because Daniel Farke, in the run into the end of the transfer window, he maintained that he needed some more strike power. He needed a 10, a winger, you know, and a striker. Two out of the three he needed. And the window closed with a whimper. We supposedly went after Harry Wilson from Fulham. They pulled the plug on it at the last minute and that was it, do you know what I mean? And I think they've let the guy down because you've got a lot of Leeds fans who are very sceptical about Daniel Farke because of his previous performances in the Premier League. But
with Norwich City.
For the last two... Yeah, at Norwich City. Yeah, that's right. But for the last 2 years, at Leeds United, in the Championship, admittedly, but he's broken all club records that ever existed at Leeds United, including in the Don Revie era. So the guy knows what he's doing as far as I'm concerned. But I think the 49ers have really let him down. And now he's got his, you know, like one hand tied behind his back. And we're going to have to try and get through the season. We had a season called the George Graham season. It was, well, maybe you're a bit so young for it. Not you, Chris. Sorry, I forgot your name for a minute. I know they called you Robbie. But yeah, George Graham season, where it was just like 1-0, 0-0, 1-0, 0-0. But the thing was, we stayed in the Premier League. And if it's a season like that, we stay in the Premier League and we just, you know, have one of them sort of seasons where we keep defences tight and just try and you know, maintain our Premier League status, then that's good enough for me. But I think they've let him down, Chris. I really don't think they've let him down.
So basically, in a word, if Leeds don't stay up, it's not necessarily on Daniel Farke, it's on the owners for not backing him.
100%. 100%, because the guy, in all his interviews, doing after games and stuff, building up to the transfer, he said, look, we need more up front. I'm happy with the back defence, I'm happy with midfield, but I still need more up front. And they've just let him down. I mean, Daniel Farke isn't the sort of guy either who would come out and say something like that just to try and put pressure on the 49ers. I think he genuinely thought that they was going to try and get some players in for him. Mm. And they've let him down. Seriously. And they'll be, you know, if it don't go well the next three games, you can guarantee next transfer window there'll be calls for Daniel Farke to be sacked. They might even replace him or something like that. But how can you replace a man who quite honestly, has been let down by the ownership.
Well, I mean, Derek, thank you so much for your call. Nice to hear a fan, you know, backing their manager. I mean, one manager who is under fire from his fans is, of course, Graham Potter, who caught up with George Cummings after their 3-0 loss at home to Spurs at the London Stadium.
Well, Graham, sum up how you're feeling. How do you reflect on that afternoon?
Of course, disappointed. I thought we, for the first half, we were good. We were in the game. Really pleased with a lot that we did. Restricted Tottenham to not too much. There was pressure from set pieces and long throws, but in terms of chances, it was relatively even. I think Lucas probably had the best one of the first half. And so to go in at half time, I think we were okay. We were positive. And considering Cree's first game, Mateus coming back from international duty, young player, just not trained with us too much, there were still lots of things there in that first half that we wanted to take forward. And then the second half pans out in a way that makes it an uncomfortable evening for us, because we make a mistake for the first goal and then we get a red card and the game goes away from us and then it becomes an uncomfortable evening.
What did you make of the red card? And, you know, does that, it sort of felt like maybe the team just, it was a bit similar to Chelsea and they sort of capitulated a little bit and that changes the game. Is that fair?
No, I don't think so. I think the red card makes it difficult. Then one action, we concede. And then we're 2-0 down and you're at home, you're 10 men. It's very difficult for the players then to try and put pressure on, to try and go after them, because the scoreline's against you. And obviously you don't want to open yourself too much up, which I get. So we stuck at it, but at the same time, it's an uncomfortable evening.
Is this so frustrating for you that you was good against Forest and then this has happened again tonight? And, you know, what would you say to the fans who are listening to the radio tonight on their way home about how you can turn this round?
I thought the first half was good. And that's my opinion of the first half. I thought we competed. I thought you could see the reaction of the supporters at the half time. They knew we were in the game. We've played two games at home against teams that are in the Champions League. They've invested a lot of money in their squads and they've got a lot of quality. We've in the stage of building a new team. We need to focus on the positives that we had in the first half. But at the same time, you know, we need to improve, of course, because those little details that we're not at the moment mastering are costing us.
So you almost feel like it's coming. You can feel it in training. It's coming. You just need to go on a little run and you can sense that.
Yeah, well, we've played four matches. Like I said, we played two games against two teams that are in the Champions League. We had an uncomfortable, bad day against Sunderland. We didn't after 60 minutes, but in the end it felt like that. And then we beat Forest. So that's four games. That's what we've done. And like I said, we're having to pick up a situation that needs some work, that needs some adjustment, needs some time. So that's where we're at. That's where the situation is.
Thanks for joining us on 606.
Thanks very much. George Cummings speaking to West Ham manager Graham Potter there. After their 3-0 loss at home, that is now six matches at home without a win. Chris, I'm worried for him. I don't know how long this goes on for. I mean, I'm going to put it to you. How many games has he got before they pull the plug on it?
I think it's very difficult. I suppose he has to come out, Graham Potter, and be upbeat. But for a West Ham fan to listen to some of his words that, you know, Graham Potter said he was really pleased with a lot of what he saw. The first half was good. I would suggest there's a lot of West Ham fans up there who saw a completely different performance. I think the pressure is on because he talked about spending. I think West Ham spent well over £100 million. Over the summer, and that's an issue. And you know, regardless, it's, you know, four games at the start of the season, it does, and I don't necessarily agree with this all the time, but last season when he took over, there wasn't really any bounce, Roman, and an improvement. So I think that's a problem. And it seems like there's still a hangover from last season. And we've talked about the fans leaving early. A lot of the West Ham fans have given up already this season. That doesn't bode well for the manager.
It doesn't bode well. I'm going to stick to your point, though. I'm going to stick to trying to get an answer from you, right? Just on this one, because we've got, look, if you look at West Ham's fixtures, right? They've got West Ham, have got Crystal Palace at home next, right? Mm-hmm. If they lose that game,
Do you want an exact answer?
No, I'm just, from you.
I've not got a crystal ball. I'll say he's probably got six games.
Six more games.
Six more games. Yeah, you are ruthless, Roman.
Six. Wow, West Ham fans, what do you make of that? Six more games. Hang on a minute.
How many do you get? It depends.
I think, okay, so.
Go on.
No, go on. Just okay. So Palace at home, right?
Okay.
I understand Palace, you know, that Palace have been playing well. Then they've got Everton away, which is at the fortress.
The fortress.
Chris, yeah. you said, is it a fortress, really? Well, look, okay, let's go and see it. Yeah. Then they've got Arsenal, which I'm sure in your eyes, that's an easy win for them.
Good record against Arsenal. They beat Arsenal last season.
I know, annoyingly, they do have a very good record at the Emirates. I mean, I honestly believe if you lose to Palace and you lose to Everton, if you go two losses on the bounce,
I think it's gone.
Yeah, I think it's gone.
Whatever happened to patience?
I know, but it's like you said, it's the hangover from the last season. That's what I feel like. It feels like we're giving Graham Potter this thing as a new manager. But I don't know. I just haven't seen it. I want it to work for him. I'm one of those. Okay. I want it to work for him. I just haven't seen anything that the team have given that's looking new. And look, I think Nuno is available. Someone's got to go in for him as quickly
that,
as possible.
Dan Roman has given Graham Potter 45 minutes.
Hey, well, look, we've got to see how the first 45 minutes are going at Brentford versus Chelsea. James Gregg is there. What's going on, James?
Yeah, super viewing, actually, this one, Roman. Brentford dealing very well with the marauding runs forward of the two wide men, Neto and Gittens. João Pedro as well. Not really getting much of a sniff here, I must say. Brentford themselves having a bit of possession, but they seem reticent to really try anything too funky at this stage of the game. Michael Coyote's long throw has caused chaos on a couple of times, that said. Front foot sort of evening, actually. Fairly even at the moment. The scoreboard stubbornly blank with 29 minutes on the clock. Brentford 0, Chelsea 0.
Thank you very much, James. Right, OK, we'll be back taking more of your calls.
Now, more 606. On 5 Live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Call free 08085 909 693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate. Visit bbc.co.uk/5liveterms for our terms of use and privacy notice.
Welcome back to 606. You've only got 30 minutes left to get your calls into us tonight on 08085 909 69. Now, there was a goal at the GTA for Brentford. Of course, Kevin Sharder breaking the deadlock there. A lovely assist from Jordan Henderson. But look, need to get your calls in tonight. As I say, 08085 909 693. Chris, who do you want to hear from?
You got it wrong again first time, didn't you? 693-08085-909-693.
Chris, do you know what? I'll leave the number to you tonight. I don't know what's going on with my numbers. I think we've got so much of a lack of goals in some of those Premier League matches. I don't want to say any numbers.
That's a good point. I want to hear from Everton fans. Is your new stadium a fortress or going to be a fortress? Like Roman said, Aston Villa fans, really disappointing start to the season. Let's hear from you. Stoke City up to second in the Championship. Middlesbrough are flying at the top. I think they got a late equaliser, Rob Edwards' team. Let's hear from Middlesbrough fans. Sheffield United fans hammered on Friday night against Ipswich Town. Ipswich Town, Mr. Fields, my daughter's old teacher. Let's hear from you. Can you get promotion, Mr. Fields, this season? And I've got a couple of texts to read, Roman. A West Ham fan here, very disappointed with today's results. We need to change the manager, but the board has no vision. They think we are a big club. We are not. Very unhappy. In fact, I am as unhappy as Roman was at the Ed Sheeran gig whilst he was stood next to Charlie from Busted. That's from Robin Bracknell.
Oh, wow. Oh, I had a great time.
Did it, right?
I had a great time. Yeah, some emotional songs in there. That was what the tears were for.
Yeah, out of order, Rob. Come on, Rob from Bracknell. Out of order. And we've got another one. Home games at West Ham. Home games at West Ham fans. Home games at West Ham fans have become apathetic.
Yes, that's in part about losing games, but it's about the fan experience in the stadium and the lack of leadership at board level to give us belief that there is a fan-first, coherent plan. That's from Jack the Hammer. Unhappy West Ham fans this evening, Roman.
Indeed.
Quite rightly so.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, let's get this number one more time. Okay, Chris, say it with me.
08085-909-693.
There it is. All right, we get it in there. Okay, let's go to George. George, thank you so much for holding on the line for us. I know you've been waiting. Sheffield United fan. I mean, it's tough out there. George, hello.
Is that tough? He can't speak.
It's so tough. He can't speak. George, he's been holding on for so long. I really do want to get to a Sheffield United fan at some point. I'm going to go to Kamal then. Kamal's a Fulham fan. Look, you got yourself a win, albeit a strange one. I said it was one of the best own goals I've seen. What did you make of the game?
Oh, I loved it, man. There's only one F in Fulham. Come on, you whites. We're back.
Right, so...
Right, go on. Go on. So what did you like? What did you not like, though, Kamal?
About the match today? Well, the first half was a bit disappointing. Mm-hmm. It was like lounging around on the sofa and Gogglebox. And, but,
great show.
You know all about that. But yep. The second half, we came to life. And we've got... I don't know, you said you watched the game, Brandon.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Did you hear the crowd chanting, "We want Kevin"?
I actually thought, do you know what? I thought he looked really, really sharp when he did come on.
It was amazing. Mm. He was so sharp.
New player from Shakhtar Donetsk. Little Brazilian flair in there. I know some of the lads as well there, and but I was lucky enough to speak to them this week, and they said he looks really good in training. He's one to be excited about.
Yeah, we've got...
It's all right looking good in training, isn't it? I used to look good in training.
Yeah, but Chris, honestly, he looks all right. I think he could be a good little asset for Fulham this season. Kamal,
they better not try and steal him from us in the close season. He's ours now.
Yeah,
exactly. He belongs to us.
Kamal, I have to ask, I mean, look, if you draw that game, right, and you still hadn't had a win, obviously you're elated now, but if you were to draw it,
they
it was
won.
A Goodmanson, yeah, I know they won, but you have to see these things in the light of day sometimes. They got until you see that goal, Chris, you'll know what I'm saying, because it was a really good yeah, unfortunately it was in the wrong net.
He's gonna get our goal of the month, I think.
But Kamal, okay, look, how did you honestly see it? Like, out the back of it, are you happy going into the next game? What do you think needs to be improved?
Okay, so well, I was right behind the goal and I saw it, and just to be fair to Leeds fans, if they're listening, they played really well, and I think they're going to survive. They're really, really strong in it all, and they're very, very good defence. You know, they were very, you know, hype. So, you know, I heard a Leeds fan commiserating his team. He shouldn't do that. I think they could do really well. And I'm quite excited for them. They just better keep their hands off Harry Wilson. Our next match is against Brentford. I know we've got Cambridge United at home in the Carling Cup, but we've got Brentford next week at 8 o'clock. We have to go there at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's very late. I'm pretty positive. My old chairman...
What time do you normally go to bed, Kamal? I mean, that's, you know...
Also,
it's not that far. You're going Brentford. Yeah. If you're a Fulham fan, at least you're up the road.
No, it's going to be at the cottage.
It's at Brentford.
No, it's at the cottage.
Yeah,
but I've got a six-year-old, so I'm up at 7 every morning. So.
7? I'd love to lie until 7.
if only to be a Fulham fan. Life's so nice. Kamal, listen, thank you so much for your call, mate. Really, really appreciate that. Kevin does look a little player. And if Chris, straight after this, please watch that own goal. And I, Goodmanson, he had a fantastic game. It's just one of them. It really is just one of them. I want to go back to George, who is our Sheffield United fan. George, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, George. Go on, tell me. It's tough out there. That's what I said the first time around.
It's like, you know, it's like a reverse Leicester 2016. No way, you're like third, you've got 92 points, and then you're bottom of the league, you've lost six games in a row, it's just heartbreak.
Is there any, like, solace in the fact that, I mean, what's hard is that, I mean, both, I was just looking at the league table, and you've got both Sheffield sides right at the bottom there, and you're talking about it as a reverse Leicester, which I've never heard before.
I mean, what are you talking about in terms of manager? Where do you go from here?
I mean, we've lost our star player. In my opinion, he's much better than Hamer, Vinny Souza. And we've got to move forward from Chris Wilder. So,
yeah, but you say you've got to move forward. There will no doubt, George, and I respect your opinion, there will be a lot of Sheffield United fans who would look at last season and think, blimey, you know, we were so close to getting to the Premier League. And then this dramatic, change of manager. And let's get it right. It's been an absolute shambles at the start of this season.
Yeah. I reckon what we've got, I mean, yeah, I was listening earlier on, West Ham are going to sack Graham Potter. They could bring in Sean Dyche, and that means he won't want to come to United. So I don't really know what manager would like to come to United at this point.
There'll be a lot of managers who would take the Sheffield United job. But I mean, how long do you give Ruben Sellers? Where are the Sheffield United fans with Ruben Sellers now? I mean, the defeat against Ipswich was a total capitulation, wasn't it?
Yeah, to be honest, the players don't want to play with him anymore. They don't want to play under him anymore. So I think the board has to sack him. I reckon you give him one more game and then you give him a sack hammer.
But you'd sack him now, but one more game, or would you sack him now?
Let's say one more home game. If you don't at least bring out 3 points, I think it's a sack.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, more ruthless than you there, Roman.
Yeah, I mean,
one more game.
But look, I was surprised. Chris, you threw out, do you sack him now or one game?
Give him
surprised.
Six games.
Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say, you give him till the end of the season. But look, George, thank you so much for your call, mate. Tough scenes going on there. But let's find out what is going on. It should be coming up to half-time at Brentford. We've got James Gregg. James, what's going on?
Yeah, we're into first half stoppage time, Roman. I've got to say that Brentford do deserve their lead. It's been a brilliant first half, very watchable indeed. Chelsea at the moment, though, have spent the last 5 minutes or so since that Kevin Sharder goal camped out in the Brentford half, and jeers from the home fans as an overhit pass from Buonanotte, who's actually been pretty good on debut so far, rolls one straight over the touchline. In fact, there it is. There is the half-time whistle. Brentford 1 at Chelsea 0. It was a lovely goal from Sharder, his first goal of the season. Great run, beat that Chelsea high line and then composed himself so well. Lovely, clean, curling strike into the bottom corner past Sanchez. It was from a Jordan Henderson ball. It was beautiful as well. Really nicely weighted. He's definitely still got it, hasn't he? Chelsea started off, actually, with some really good sharp runs in behind from Neto and Gittens. But those two and that danger man, João Pedro, they've been kept very quiet by a brilliant defensive performance so far from the home side. Pinnock, Coyote have just been outstanding. Might we see Cole Palmer and Alejandro Garnacho in the second half? I think we might. Food for thought at half-time for Mr. Maresca. Brentford 1, Chelsea 0.
James Gregg, thank you so much at the G-Tech for us there. Right, Chris, it is the moment. I'm not going to lie, I've been dreading of the show. It is time for fake news.
Yeah, you're under a bit of pressure here, Roman, because all my co-hosts on Saturday 6:06 are footballing nerds who know it all.
I know.
So I've got to say, it's tricky to catch you lot out, but here we have three stories, two true, one fake.
Okay.
It's early days. Natalie got it right last week. She needed that. She is one out of two. Aaron Paul is one for one, 100%, but already a whiff of corruption.
I was going to say, is that definitely one of one? It's got an asterisk, right?
Yeah, he has. That was very unseemly. And my little pal, Ali Bruce Ball, got it wrong, little Bruce. So he has zero. And your first fake news, inspired by the tat you have of the original Brazilian Ronaldo on your leg.
R9, the goat. Okay.
Okay. Right. So good luck. Here's story number one.
Yeah.
Finnish winger Topi Keskinen has a tattoo of Wayne Rooney on his forearm. The Aberdeen man displays Wayne wearing an England shirt with the number 10 and all. And Wayne is casting a long fishing rod. Asked why, the flying Finn said, "I love Wayne Rooney and I love fishing." Okay, that's story number one.
I really want that to be true.
Story number two. Gennaro Gattuso, what a player he was, will never forget his series of training ground challenges against his Milan teammate Massimo Ambrosini back in 2005. Mm-hmm. Poor Gennaro's forfeit for losing the keepy-ups, crossbar challenge, sprint contest, and the other tests of skill, a permanent reminder. Mamma mia! The initials MA inked on his inner arm just below the armpit.
Wow.
That's story number two. And story number three, Tottenham's Richarlison has a tattoo of himself on his back. Not only that, but his face is sandwiched between your mate Ronaldo and Neymar. What an ego. But it was a no-go for Neymar, as when he saw his own huge face on his international teammate's body, he reportedly gave him 30,000 euros to have it removed. That's story number three. So who is it? Is it Topi's Rue tattoo? Mm. Is it the pits of Gat's tat?
Yep.
Or is it the Neymar needle, Roman?
Okay. I just want to try and clarify something, right? So are we saying, right, on the Richarlison tattoo, are we saying that the story, the fake part of the story could be that Neymar got it removed? Is that correct?
Neymar... Well, we haven't got time for questions,
fine.
Really.
Okay, fine.
Go with that if you want.
Okay. Right. So we've got two truths.
Come on, Roman.
One lie. I really, do you know what? I don't know Toby, the first player. So forgive me, Toby.
You don't know his name.
No, Toby. I don't know. Toby. No, I don't know him. Apologies. Gattuso. I mean, listen. I can totally imagine. I can imagine that. I mean, I've seen some of the other challenges.
Mamma mia!
I can see
on his
it.
Arm, just under his arm.
I can see
Topi.
That one.
Think about Topi again. Loves Wayne Rooney. I love fishing. I love Wayne Rooney.
I want it to be true, right? And I'm gonna go
the
with
fake one. Come on.
The fake
Roman.
One is the Richarlison and Neymar making him get it removed.
No!
Oh, what a start! What a start! What a bad start!
No.
Oh dear, who would you have gone for next? In terms of the fake one?
Yeah.
Topi.
Oh God! Mamma mia! Mamma mia, Roman!
Wow!
Come on!
Wow!
You're better than that. You are better than that.
Wow! Did you know what? I love it.
Another chance next week.
Yeah. I'll definitely give that one a go next week. 100%. Really good. really good.
Oh, dear.
That was good fun. That was
shame
good fun.
On you.
Shame. You know what? I don't even feel shame because I'll do it all for that Topi impression again.
I love Wayne Rooney. I love fishing.
I love it. Love it. Who knew we could have Arnold on the show? Well, let's go to... Right, let's get serious now. That was a lovely fake news. But let's go to Kaylee. Kaylee, you're a Villa fan. A really, really tough start to the season. Is this something you saw coming at all towards the end of last season? How are you feeling?
I think there's a little bit of disappointment. But at the end, I think the start of the season, the transfer window, all of that, there's been such big things about Emi Martinez and obviously Jacob Ramsey going. I think it shook a lot of players, and I think there's things that we obviously all don't know about. But seeing Martinez out there today and the save that he made, I think he's all in, and I think it'll bring us a lot of confidence back.
I mean, has the start must have been a big surprise after last season and the success which Villa had as a team, though, right? And, you know, it just feels something isn't quite right there. Can you put your finger on that as a Villa fan?
That's honestly what I believe. I believe it's been a shaky start to the season with everything that's been going on. And, yeah, we've got Kamara who's out at the moment. And let's not forget, go back to 2022 when Emerick actually joined us. We were in a very similar situation there. So if there's anyone that can turn it round, I think it's going to be him.
You brought a couple of players in, didn't you, over the late on in the window. Jadon Sancho, I think Elliot had a... did he come on in the second half? I think he did today.
He did, yeah. He had a nice reception from the Everton fans.
Yeah, I bet he did. What are your feelings on? I mean, do you sense that they were a little bit of panic there from Villa towards the end of the window?
I think so. Yeah. I think there's, like I said, there was a lot of hype about a lot of things, wasn't there? And I think the main concern was if we were going to bring somebody in, who would have to go? And I think that's what we were all scared of, because the reason we've done so well is because of what Emery's created. And I believe he's created a family there, but like all families do, we all have our disputes. So I'm hoping it's the end of it. I mean, the second half of the game was actually a lot more positive. And I'm hoping we start to see more. What I do need to see, though, is a bit more from Ollie Watkins as well.
Yeah, he started the season a little bit flat. I mean, you know, Villa haven't scored. Do you think it's a case of last season Villa overachieving a little bit under Emery?
I don't know. I think if we'd have overachieved, we'd have beaten Man United and got Champions League this season, but that didn't happen, did it? But I do believe that it's a difficult situation, and when you don't win the games and get into the competitions you want to, and you don't make the money, you don't get to enhance your squad, you end up losing some of them. And I know Newcastle feel that way as well, but it is what it is. And if it were at this point in by the end of December, I think I'd be really concerned. But at the moment, I've got faith in all of them. And my heart broke when Martinez wasn't on the bus for the Palace game. I really did. But I'm just glad it's turned around, and hopefully it can distill that confidence back in the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kayleigh, I absolutely agree with you there. I mean, Emi Martinez made a fantastic save today to kind of keep you in the game at the fortress that is the Hill Dickinson, I may say. Kayleigh, thank you so much. Right, we've got 5 minutes until the end. I want to try and squeeze in two more calls if we can do it. I'm going to go to Simon, West Ham fan. Go on. We've had a lot of West Ham fans on today, and rightly so. It's contentious time, Simon.
Hi, Roman. Hi, Chris. Hey, yeah, I was at the game this afternoon, and I mean, I've been a fan for 50 years. I've never left early, and I left in the 83rd minute or something, because I just couldn't take it anymore. I just don't know what Potter's doing, frankly.
I mean, that's... You know, that's difficult. You sort of nearly saw it through. I mean, is it that bad what you're seeing at this moment in time, which forced you to get up and leave the stadium?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
What in particular? Because we had Graham Potter, heard his interview earlier with George Cummins, and he was quite pleased with the first half performance. He said,
First of all, he didn't show any passion in that interview. I listened to the interview, you could forgive it if there was a bit of passion in his voice, but there was nothing at all. His selection, I don't know why he's playing Ward-Prowse in pre-season. Freddie Potts played every game, and he must be pulling his hair out why he's not getting into that side. And then he brought Andy Irving on at the end to replace Ward-Prowse. You know, Potts is sitting on the bench. He's West Ham through and through. Mm. My son was at the game with me as well, and he's as upset as I am. I supported the club for 50 years. I've never seen it in the state it's in now.
It is, Simon. Sorry, Simon. I just want to try and make sure we get one more call in. But Simon, thank you so much for your call. I really, really do appreciate that one, and completely understand your worries. But I'm trying to end on a high today, and we want to go to Stoke. Andrew, go on. How are you feeling?
Feeling great, mate. Really am. Great to hear from you, boys. I thought I wanted to finish with, but some happy callers on here, because you've had a lot of negativity, haven't you, tonight?
Yeah. So go on. Why are you happy?
Especially after fake news.
Indeed, yes. I've rang you a few times, spoke to you, Chris, and said we've been sacking managers left, right and centre, but we found a good one in Mark Robbins now. And you can see things have got starting to come together. Great recruitment this summer. Zorba Thomas, Thomas Rigo had a great debut today. Divine Mbabara up front. We go on loan from Man City. And we're playing some great attacking football. And today we...
We played Birmingham off the park in the first half. We should have been 2 or 3 up.
And they've been all right, Birmingham. They've had a pretty decent start. So that's, yeah, I mean, that's...
Not as good as us, though.
And do you sense with
that's
the
manager...
He's a manager. Over the years, the job he did at Coventry, he never really gets the credit which he deserves, I think, Mark Robbins. He, you know, really underrated, don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt. And there was a lot of people saying, well, he's lost his right-hand man with Adi Vivash and that, but he's got a couple of great coaches behind him now. And you can see we've got the things in place now. And one thing for me is we're going to be looking up at the top half of the table rather than the bottom half of the table, which we've done so many times over the previous 7 years. So it's all looking up for Stoke.
Looking up for Stoke. Absolutely love it. Andrew, thank you so much. And thank you for listening. And thanks for all of your calls tonight. I'm back next week with you, Chris. And Robbie Savage, unbeaten Forest Green Rovers manager. We'll be back with 6:06 tomorrow at 6:30. Taking all your calls straight after commentary of the Manchester Derby. Next up on 5 Live is Stephen Nolan. 6:06 is a Shooting Shark production for BBC Radio 5 Live. Good night, Chris.
Good night, Roman.
The Women's Football Weekly has found a new home in its very own feed.
We've called it, unsurprisingly, BBC Women's Football Weekly.
We'll continue to bring you the latest news, insights and analysis from across the women's game.
They're throwing some big money around. I want to see how they line up, how everyone fits in.
Episodes will be available every Tuesday as ever, alongside special, unfiltered player interviews from the biggest names in WSL and beyond.
To make sure you never miss an episode, just search for BBC Women's Football Weekly and hit subscribe once you get there.